We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Tapped by Coors Light. Ducks fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
Power number three. Does this make you feel better than music?
I'm better. I'm okay. I'm an intense individual.
No S.
And I cannot take a bong hit, as that was prescribed to me on the Better You Today text line.
I mean, would it be the worst thing?
I've never done it in my life. I don't need the munchies.
Okay.
I've lost, like, a lot of weight. Feel good.
I mean, could we, like, maybe do that, like, at one point?
No. I have no desire. It's illegal. Ever. So just because it's legal doesn't mean I want to do it.
I kind of want to see what you're like.
To each their own.
I kind of want to see what you're like. You know?
Hey, whatever.
Maybe we'll do it on the show.
There's a lot of things that are legal. Doesn't make them right.
That is true. Well, that is true. All right. It's always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining. It's our weekend. Would you rather, Mr. Buck?
Gentlemen.
Oh, we can hear you.
How about that? Got five categories today for you. They are amateur baking, breaking wind, home wrecking GPS systems, stash or swallow, or legends of the fall. Where do we want to start? And who would like to start?
I'm starting this show off with a bang.
I thought you were going to say this S.
We're breaking some wind, baby. Break some wind.
Okay, so this comes to us from the UK, where there is a new pair of designer jeans that now can negate the smell of flatulence. So,
Wait, hold on. Tell me this. Say that again.
There's a new type of jeans from the UK that can negate the smell of flatulence. So basically,
filter jeans.
You fart, no one's going to smell it.
I don't believe it.
Apparently,
I don't believe that.
It has extra porous fabric that absorbs the farts, and then
Does the fart smell go?
It stays in there till you wash them. That's what it says.
Oh, that's even worse.
No. I call BS on this whole science.
Well, I'm just telling you what the internet says.
Okay, so
First of all, I'm going to walk around with fart-smelling jeans.
No. One can smell. It stays in there.
I don't believe that.
It's got
at
little
all.
Fart chambers.
It's a fart chamber.
Okay, here's my question about these.
God, this is Friday radio at its best.
Here's my question about these magic fart jeans. Is that what about the one? Have you ever had the one that you feel like creep up? Like it creeps up your back and it's through your shirt, and it comes out the top of your shirt, and you can't. You're like, nah, this is horrible.
It
How
says,
can it stop
why
that?
Why are you wearing skinny jeans?
According to the website Shreddies, the name of the company is Shreddies. Flatulence filtering
jeans.
Garments feature an activated carbon back panel that absorbs all flatulence odors.
Okay.
So the question here, though, is would you rather wear these jeans every day to mask your farts or wear whatever you want every day but have to make a public declaration every time you cut one?
Public declaration.
Wait.
Like, raise your hand up and say, I just let one go
but
every
this
time.
This is super easy.
For how long?
Forever.
Forever?
Well, this is easy.
I can't wait.
Why is it easy?
You wear the fart jeans. Why wouldn't
every
you
day?
Wear the fart jeans?
Every
yeah.
day?
You guys almost never wear jeans in here.
I could cut them
into change your life.
I could cut them into jorts.
Mm-hmm.
I could.
They also sell fart-absorbing cushions and underwear.
Well, first of all, I have boys, and my boys, I don't know what it is about young kids and boys. They fart like there's no tomorrow, and it drives me insane and my wife insane.
You don't.
It's not that I don't. Is it that they do an exorbitant amount for some reason and find it hilarious at all times?
It always will be hilarious.
Yeah, my wife, it drives her insane. And I'm going to go with the fart jeans because I don't need to put my hand up and let you know at all times.
OK, Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to do that either, but I think I'm going the other way, and I'm just going to try to hold it in.
Dusty is an SPD like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll kill you with him.
He is an hashtag SPD in this studio at all times.
You know what is...
That's silent but deadly, folks.
I wouldn't say at all times, but you catch me on the right day, buddy. But isn't this more of a technology that we want for our underwear, not our jeans?
So they do sell an undergarment that does the same thing, which seems like that would be maybe the better way to go.
Like, I've always thought,
I'm more of a commando guy.
If you had... Okay, that's something that we didn't know about you. Probably didn't need to know, but we'll live with it.
It's something in between.
A little breathability. I've always thought that having a dryer sheet insert for your underoos, where you fart, it catches the smell, does a little a dryer sheet,
cancels out.
And then you can just take it out, replace it, and put the new one in.
I don't think that science works like that.
Why? Catches your fart stink in the little dryer sheet.
Is that what would happen? So you don't think these jeans will work, but you think a dryer sheet will?
Well, the stoners in college used to blow their bong rips out of the through the paper towel roll and through the dryer sheets, and nobody could smell it. All right. Okay, I will go with home wrecking GPS for $500, Bob.
Okay, so this comes to us from Lima, Peru, where a man was trying to simply get directions to where he was going, and on the street view of the Google Maps, saw his wife canoodling with another guy.
I saw this.
They're sitting on a park bench. She's stroking his hair on the bench. Yeah.
Hey, oh.
He's laying down on the bench, and she's caressing his hair. And
Could you imagine that feeling?
So here's the worst part of it.
At least it makes it easy on you.
The street level photo was taken about 2.5 years before he saw it on Google Maps. So they ended up getting divorced because of this. But the question here is, would you rather catch your significant other cheating on you on Google Maps 2 years after the fact, or walk in on the affair as it's happening?
Oh, 2 years after the fact, because I'd end up in prison.
Would you?
If I walked in on it, yeah.
Well, if that happens, I'm just all right, good, made it easy on me. I don't, this stuff doesn't, I mean, walking in, if it's 2 years ago, then I've been lied to for a super long time.
I think it's way worse that way.
Yeah, if you just walk in on it, at least it's all right, that floats your boat, fine.
It's difficult, though, because I think that, Destiny mentions, there would be an impulse to wreck shop if you walked in on it.
Well, I do know that domestic anger is probably a leading issue in our country.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Hmm. Pew and Anthony, cutting them into George's is so Hillsborough, says the guy in Gresham, really? Don't be coming at Hillsborough with our jorts culture. We are distinguished in the jorts.
Keep them afraid. Buck, were the other ones? What was
You've
the
got
other one?
Amateur baking.
Okay.
Stash or swallow. Or Legends of the Fall.
I'm going to go Legends of the Fall. Very good movie.
It's a great movie. One of my favorites, actually. But this has nothing to do with the movie. It has more to do with people with falling down in legendary fashion.
Good.
So... two different stories. One comes to us from a shopping mall in China where an employee fell through a feeding door on a bridge over a shark tank.
Holy crap.
The sharks were they're docile, I guess, non-attacking lemon sharks, but they circled her for about 2 minutes before plucking her out of the water. Then there was a man about 90 miles northwest of Phoenix who fell down a mine shaft 100 feet looking for gold.
Yes, and know what he did when he was down there?
Found Waited. Gold.
He killed snakes.
Yeah, he did.
He killed snakes to stay alive.
And the thing with this guy was he told his buddy, "I'm going out looking for gold. If I'm not back by Thursday, call the police."
Yeah. By Thursday?
So he went out for so he was down there for 2 days because he went out on a Monday.
Oh my God.
So the question here is, would you rather fall into the shark tank at feeding time not knowing that the sharks are not aggressive or dangerous, or would you rather fall down a 100-foot mine shaft not knowing if you'll be found?
Shark tank.
You want to shark tank?
Yeah.
That mine shaft thing is really scary. I have a little bit of claustrophobia, so I'm going with the sharks. If I'm seeing my demise, chew me up. I want to see it come. But that thing and being stuck down there,
it's
like Buffalo Bill, man. I don't like that.
And if the shark's a killer, it'll happen rather quickly.
Sure.
A snake bite, you're going through a lot of pain. You're suffering for a while.
And it's dark. You can't see anything.
Can't see it.
Nothing.
Yeah. I think if you're in the mall, too, someone's going to come try to help you at some point, whereas the mine shaft, you just have to hope your buddy decides to come looking.
Yeah.
You get cell service down there?
Probably not.
I'm sure not.
Hold on. How like mangled was this dude falling 100 feet? Like,
that's a long fall.
You say he killed snakes to stay alive. Was he like Lieutenant Dan crawling around and killing them or what?
How wide the mine shaft was.
It says he was 60 years old and he was actually, I think, trying to rappel down there. It was a 100-foot mine shaft and his carabiner broke, and so he fell 40 to 50 feet to the bottom.
My gosh.
Well, still, 40 to 50 feet, that's a deadly fall, you know?
15 feet is a deadly fall.
It doesn't say anything about injuries that he sustained, although... Yes, it does. A hospital spokesperson told NBC News that Waddle broke his legs.
Both of them,
both
huh?
of them.
So he was Lieutenant Dannon over there.
I suppose so.
My God.
Lieutenant Dang.
Okay.
You got new legs.
That's pretty good.
Lieutenant Dan, ice cream. Yeah. I'm going to go with Stash or Swallow, Bob.
This comes to us from the country of Turkey, where an Irish tourist was hospitalized after swallowing a stolen diamond ring trying to get away with the heist.
Oh, the old swallow and hide, huh?
So now this...
Wait, does he know diamonds cut everything?
Yeah, they
so
do.
So that's where we're going stone. With this. So it was a gem that was worth 30,000 pounds, which I think is a little over $30,000.
That's a big, big rock.
So the question, he needed to have surgery to remove it because it was giving him health issues before he could pass it.
I think.
Passing a stone, I heard, is very painful.
Yeah, especially a $30,000 one, I'd imagine.
Right.
But so the question here is, would you rather swallow the diamond knowing that you're going to get away with the crime but risking the health issues, or keep the diamond on your person, risk being caught, but know you will have no health issues?
Do I get away with it if I swallow it?
If you swallow it, you get away with it, but you may need surgery like this guy.
May need surgery. How bad do I need this diamond? I'm not... No. Hey, swallow? No, not going to swallow it. No, not going to do it.
I think we just have a drop there.
Not
going to
do it.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to risk getting caught because that just sounds so painful to swallow a big jewel and have that in your innards.
In the innards. What? Look who it is!
It's a special edition of Weekend Would You Rather. This is our surprise that I teased you over.
You didn't tease me about this.
I did.
Hit that button, dude.
You just weren't listening.
Hit that button.
What's up, guys?
What the hell is that?
Dude, long time no see, Cam.
What the heck? Did you come in here and just surprise me?
I did, yeah.
You totally surprised me.
And of course, I was late. I was trying to get here by 8 a.m., so of course.
Yeah, he was going to play Weekend Would You Rather.
Were you supposed to be here at 8 o'clock?
Yeah, I was, but I had to stay true to form.
You're such a liar right
now. I had to stay true to form.
He's 10 minutes late.
You did this on purpose?
No, I actually didn't do this on purpose. I did. Oh, I meant to be here. I didn't mean to be late.
Mean
so.
To be here
at 8 o'clock.
I told you yesterday. I ended the show. A
you said special guest,
a special surprise on Weekend.
And I'm late.
Would you rather?
I
teased it at the end of the 7:45 break.
Lord,
I said
have mercy.
I said a special surprise on Weekend. Would you rather?
I did see that you were coming up because you put all your gear out.
I did. I got all my vintage Benny the Beaver gear for the Beavs game this weekend.
Oh my!
You guys have a view now.
We do. We see the river.
Yeah, window.
This is beautiful.
In the window.
All right, Alex Crawford.
We have one more.
Pick the last one.
No, sure. We have one more for him. Yeah.
Okay. Amateur baking.
The category here is amateur baking.
We do categories now.
I heard. Actually, I was talking to someone last night at a bar. They're like, dude, the new guy, Buck's been killing it.
Yeah.
He does categories on his Would You Rather, super organized, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, damn. Do you want me to hit you guys with a...
Oh, no. So here.
Answer, you have it, Would You Rather?
Answer this one first and then ask one on the way out.
He can't hear. So okay. Just do that.
Here's the thing.
He needs headphones. He doesn't
just
have
answer,
any.
Answer just answer this one first.
Okay, here we go.
So here's the question. This comes to us from west of Sacramento, where some middle school students, they put their grandparents' ashes in cookies that they baked for their fellow students, and 9 people consumed these cookies with ashes. So the question here is, would you rather unknowingly consume a cremation cookie like these kids did, or unknowingly consume a cookie that has something psychedelic in it?
I feel like this is a no-brainer for one of us here.
I'm going psychedelic on this one. Easy answer.
That happens sometimes, knowingly or unknowingly.
Right, let's save the best for last here because I'm going to consume my former. So I don't want to have any bad feelings here, but I'd like to consume my formers.
Yeah.
So the answer I think I'll go with is like psychedelics can be gnarly. You know, I don't want to have a bad trip, and I've always Lately, I've been thinking about what to do if
like
I die.
Eating people?
I've been thinking about what to do as opposed to cannibalism. Well, someone was asked. I had a lot of conversations lately about, do you want to die or do you want to get buried? Do you want to get cremated? And I've been trying to think of a creative answer. So I think maybe if I were cremated and then put into food served to my family and my loved ones, that might be the best way to go and the best way to stay with them forever. So I'd rather eat someone to kind of experience that.
Wow.
That's odd. Okay. Alex Crawford, thank you for playing Weekend Would You Rather with
us. Very unexpected, but very good.
I know. He was late, but that's right on brand for
him. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We go from Alex Crawford to Alex Brink. Washington State color analyst will join us in studio. Maybe Crawford will stick around a little bit later. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, it is a state of emergency in Pullman, Washington. We discussed that yesterday. Washington State is getting ready for College Game Day and the Oregon Ducks. And so for a preview, we brought in Washington State color analyst now. Congrats, by the way, on the color analyst gig.
Thank you, guys.
Alex Brink. How are you this morning, man?
I'm awesome.
Yeah, I was. He walked in and I saw your picture on Twitter because we the stash. But you're full. But you're back to the beard. But we were wondering, will that be trimmed up by game day?
Yeah, it'll be. We'll be okay, dialed in. My broadcast partner Matt Jazz now has faithfully kept his through the bye week, and so yeah, the handlebar mustache will be back. My wife's gonna love it.
Now you guys all good do it because Gardner Minshew looks. I don't know the best way to put it, but like he's from Pullman.
Yeah.
He just rocks a mustache all...
Looks like a mall cop.
The Mississippi mustache.
Paul Blart. He's Paul Blart.
Little Paul Blart. Yeah. Okay, let's start there. Minshew. How and why is he as just as effective, if not more effective, than Luke Falk in this offense?
I think there's a couple things. First of all, you know, he's a veteran. I mean, he's a fifth-year senior, so he's a guy that's been around. He's got snaps under his belt from East Carolina. I do believe in this. You can look at this now kind of as history's played out. I think guys like Minshew that are, you know, they got a little athleticism, they can move around, they can scramble, the Pat Mahomes, the Baker Mayfields. Mm-hmm. I actually think they bring something to the air raid that makes it even better, right? We talk about the concepts. We talk about, you know, how easy it is kind of for a quarterback to execute and get completions. But, you know, good defenses will figure out, because there's only so many plays they can run, will figure out, you know, how to stop it. And what the X factor is now is Gardner Minshew's legs. He's able to get out and move around. And so I think that's what's made him better. And then his confidence. I mean, his moxie is, it's one of those things where he's kind of out there and he's just playing ball, having fun.
You know, we had Ryan Leaf on the show on, on Wednesday. We were talking about the simplification, what Coach Leach has done. He had mentioned it something, and maybe you can verify this for a lot of listeners out there, is that really in the passing game, there's about 10 plays that all there is. And what it's done for him and saying the balance, remember the balance question that he answers? Like, what are you talking about balance? Anybody that knows football, you call the game to win the game. If you can't run the football, you're going to throw the football. My question really is why you've kind of mentioned about why he's been able to grasp it so quickly. Is it because Coach Leach has made it simpler for him, or is it just for everybody? It's just so efficient
for everybody. It's more efficient. I mean, the air raid is literally at most 25 plays, right? That's why he's got the little play call sheet, because that's how many plays there are. You know, it's 90 series. It's 90 through 99, and then a handful of other plays and variations. And, you know, that's just kind of the structure of the offense itself. So it's simple in its nature. You can make it even more simple by just keeping it kind of within the framework. And for Gardner Minshew, you know, he got part of the way he picked it up quick was he went down when he was in Mississippi, and he was spending time with Hal Mumme and Coach Leach helped develop basically the air raid, right? So they just happened. He got a little head start, so to speak, on learning the offense.
Student of the game is a big one. I mean, we talked about this last year with Luke Falk, like walking around listening to Tom Brady play calls on campus and stuff. Minshew's story is going to be a GA and then ends up coming up transferring for that fifth year. Is he kind of cut from that mold of Luke Falk study the game, or is he wired a little bit differently from the way when you talk to him?
He's wired a little bit differently. I mean, he's a little looser than Luke was. He's not quite as kind of rigid in his preparation, which is, you know, to be fair to Luke, I mean, one of the reasons Washington State was so great for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years was because of Luke's commitment and preparation. And because the way the air raid works, I think, is you either have an elite passer who makes it great, like Luke, mm-hmm. or you have a guy with a little bit of athletic ability that can scramble around and make plays, and those two things make it better than just, say, when you got an average quarterback. They'll be productive, but they won't win football games. So yeah. there's a difference, right? And Gardner Minshew's thing is he wants to be a coach. That's the story, right? He was going to go to Alabama. He was going to be the backup at Alabama, and Nick Saban was going to guarantee him a GA spot, and he ends up at Washington State through a couple of various connections because they say, hey, the same thing. You're going to be a coach, but you can play ball your last year also. And he said, well, that sounds like a way better deal. And so now he's playing with house money. He's gonna be a coach under the Mike Leach tree, and he's fired up about that. But he can also have a great senior year.
So we saw a classic game last week. Wazoo's going to come off a bye week, and their defense, when I talk about, I want you to go over a little bit about the defense differences between Alex Grinch and now with Tracy Clays. I know Peyton's back. He had to replace Hercules Mataafa. But after watching that game versus Washington and Oregon, the kind of style of Oregon a little bit different, a little more physical up front, a little better offensive line. What do you think Washington State has to do on defense to be able to just look it out on film, be able to stop with maybe the running game? Because Justin Herbert, very good quarterback, but didn't do enough to say, okay, dominated the game, but those were two good juggernauts going after it.
It's going to be an interesting matchup. I really think Washington State's defense is, they have a similar structure under Tracy Clays that they had under Alex Grinch. They've got small defensive linemen. They're fast. You know, they're trying to play physical, but they're going to do the defensive line shift up front right before the snap, and then they're going to try and slant to the gap backside. That's how they disrupt teams. Now, I will say that they struggled a little bit stopping the run against Wyoming, who runs the ball really, really well. They struggled stopping the run against Utah, who runs the ball really well.
SC
got after him, and so Oregon State had a ton of success on them. So where they've been successful and when they've gotten stops, the defensive line's able to get some penetration. And then ultimately the linebackers, like you're talking about, Peyton Pallure, the 6-year senior who's back, and Jahad Woods, who's a great player as a sophomore, those guys are making a ton of plays at the line of scrimmage. If they miss tackles, it ends up being big plays in the run game. And I think that's a concern for Washington State against Oregon, who, like you said, has committed to being a quality running football team.
Alex Brink is our guest, Washington State color analyst for their radio broadcast. Now, okay, this is a question about explosive plays with Washington State's defense. They lead the conference with the fewest yards, pass plays over 10 yards allowed, right? Their secondary has been awesome this year in limiting explosive plays. Oregon has the most of anybody in the conference of plays over 20 yards, one of the leaders in the country in the passing game. What has it been to kind of limiting those explosive plays? Because that was some Washington State could be susceptible to the big play at times. How have they eliminated that?
Well,
the back end?
Yeah, there's two ways. They've been great in the pass rush. That's one thing that Washington State last year, you had Hercules Mataafa rushing the passer, and he was great, but there wasn't a lot of other guys getting in there. Now you're seeing Peyton Pallure in there. I think he's got 3.5 sacks. You've got Dom Silvels. You got all these guys. I can name 6 guys that nobody's ever heard of, but that have sacks or tackles for loss on the year. And I think that pressure has helped the back end, because there's one game where they didn't get a ton of pressure. That was USC. They lost because USC was taking shots downfield, and they got a 6 PI or 3 PIs, 3 defensive holdings, and a couple explosive plays. And so I think if they can rush the passer and get to Justin Herbert, I think it makes it a long night for Oregon's offense. If they don't, I think they can get down. I think Oregon's got a chance to get downfield on them.
You read my mind a little bit right there. Give me your evaluation thus far with Justin. Number one quarterback in the nation. A lot of guys are saying he's the first pick overall. You know him as good as anybody when it comes to his abilities and what he's done thus far. Kind of ranking, we were talking about where he sits right now in the Heisman conversation. Give me your evaluation of him thus far in the season.
Justin's, you know, he's had a great year. He's done everything that you would want, could ask of him at this point. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head about the Washington game. I would have loved to see Justin just take that thing by the throat and go. And there were times where you could tell there's a little bit of hesitation. And I think part of that was because that was the first time he saw a really good secondary that was not just playing zone, letting him drop back and throw. They were playing man coverage. The windows were tighter, and there was a little bit of hesitation. Now, made a ton of plays off schedule, and, you know, the touchdowns are kind of coming off scrambles, and he's making great throws. So he made it work, which is a sign of a great player. But the growth is going to be in, as you play these better defenses, better secondaries, think the windows are tighter, are you committed to letting it go? Look, Stanford, he diced Stanford up. Stanford was 10 yards off, playing very soft, mm-hmm. letting the ball, trying to keep everything in front of him, and he made him pay for it. And so I think for Justin, he's doing everything right till this point. There's some growth left there, which is a good thing. That's a great thing for pro scouts, for everybody, because that means you've got a young man that's not tapped out, that there's more potential. And so I think there's a silver lining to the comment I make in that regard. But boy, he's 2 years ago, we talked about him being a first round NFL talent, and, right. and here we are.
Is he still the second best quarterback to come out of Sheldon High School?
Behind Jordan Johnson.
Really? Yeah. Not even Chris Miller?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, gosh. Yeah, Chris.
Where do you
sorry, Chris. My bad.
Yeah, okay. Herbert.
Dang, that's really good.
Jordy Johnson.
In that way.
You.
Chris Miller. Taylor Alley.
Wow.
So you have those four and a half.
I wasn't raking.
Where are you on the list of Sheldon quarterback?
I'm just happy to be in the conversation with players like that.
What a BS response.
Very nice.
He was a high school career. I'll put you number one for high school career.
Thank you.
Just because you kicked our butts in the semifinals. All right. Alex Brink, Washington State Cougars Radio Network. Okay, I have another question for you. How pissed are you guys at the Pac-12 from the USC game? Can you answer that, or am I gonna?
How about that guy, that bat phone caller that changed the game?
The whole process to me, I obviously I had no inside knowledge of that situation until it came out in the media, like everybody else, and you kind of shake your head and you say, how does that become even part of the process? How do you have somebody that can, you know, call in and make a judgment on a call that, you know, and the targeting, the whole targeting conversation.
It's out of control.
It's out of control. And I think there's things that are good about it, but they're missing the mark as far as what, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. And boy, that was frustrating.
Can you stick around?
We got game day talk.
We got it.
Natty Light.
Does Pullman have enough booze? And some more Cougs Ducks conversation. Alex Brink in studio with us on 1080 The Fan. Here's Buck. All right. Alex Brink is in studio, Washington State Cougars radio analyst. We have got a couple of things that we need to discuss with you. One is the retirement of Bob Robertson finally hanging it up for the Cougs after 52 years.
Legend.
And the other is College Game Day. Going to Pullman, finally there. Does ESPN know? Did they know what they were getting themselves into, you think, when they announced that they're going to Pullman?
I don't think they did. In all honesty, I don't think they envisioned, you know, when the gear got there on Wednesday that, you know, 3,000 people would be in the streets to meet them. I don't think Reese Davis expected to go to the Coug and sign the wall at the Coug.
And
you know?
The bar. And he did them both.
And go to, you know, I mean, there's going to be, and you know, Game Day's been in a lot of great places, but I think Pullman and Washington State, the University Athletic Department, they're rolling out the red carpet. They want to. This is an opportunity for Coug fans that are passionate about Washington State University and a university to showcase why that is. And you're going to get a 70-degree day out on the Palouse. And, I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. It's the best you can ask for.
Well, of course you went there. How is this city going to handle it? I mean, we were just talking about the semantics of it. But, I mean, how can Pullman handle this kind of excitement? I said you got to bring in FEMA trailers to be able to support everybody.
I mean, I think what's going to have to happen is all the folks in the RV lot are going to have to open their doors and just let people crash on the floor. And there's not enough hotel rooms. There's not enough beer. I heard the Cougs.
There's always beer in Pullman.
How many semi trucks are coming in with Natty Light?
Yeah, they're coming down 195 from Spokane, just dropping them off as they go. I heard they might be airlifting.
That's what I was saying. They're dropping them in. And
that's a serious question though. Coug fans they've drank Auburn, Alabama dry, Madison, Wisconsin, Salt Lake City. Drank the cities dry, ran out of beer.
Yeah.
Will Pullman run out of alcohol this weekend?
I like to think that, you know, Glenn Johnson, the mayor, has like a secret stash of
the Fireball
Keystone Light somewhere that, you know, if something happens or like the popcorn guy from the game a few years ago is going to come like save the day. He's like some mythical superhero.
Did you hear they found him?
No, they didn't.
Pullman police posted like a picture saying because ESPN wanted to find popcorn guy.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, it was an Apple Cup game, wasn't it? Was it the Apple Cup?
I can't remember.
But it was pop. There's a guy, and he was just
It was like Stanford in Seattle at CenturyLink. Yeah.
But he was taking up three rows and he would just started leaning back and just started pouring popcorn in his mouth and went all over the place and became popcorn guy. Well, Pullman Police, ESPN was looking for him and some guy responded, I went to high school with that guy. His name is so-and-so. And Pullman Police is like, no, we actually are looking for him. And there may be feature of popcorn guy on game. Yes.
Okay, serious question. Does Lee Corso dare put Puddle's head on instead of Butch in this game? Does he dare do that? He's always picked Oregon, for God's sakes. He's so committed
to Oregon.
He is.
But a lot of it is because he's been in Eugene. I think he's a homer sometimes.
Oh, yeah, he definitely is.
So definitely. He's going to play the crowd. You know, he'll let Dez take the bullets for him. Yeah.
Do that.
I have a feeling
he's putting Butch's head on. He has to.
I'm just hoping that we get they bring a live cougar out.
Ooh.
Right? So that's how Lee Corso dies on game day.
Wow.
It could happen. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a zoo. Where are they setting up at? Do you know?
So they set up kind of outside the stadium, looking back kind of behind the scoreboard up into Martin Stadium.
Okay.
I just saw this actually. I was scrolling through social media. They put this massive cable wire for a camera from the press box, and it goes all the way across the top of the stadium out into the streets.
It's like a spider cam.
They said it's like one of the longest camera cables they've seen that Game Day's ever used. That's just going to pan back and forth across
awesome.
The stadium and the crowd.
It's must see
cool.
TV.
It will be. I'll be waking up early to see the start of College Game Day. The other thing here is that we have Bob Robertson. It just so happens College Game Day announces they're coming, and Bob Robertson, 52 years, stepping away from Cougs Radio, guy who called your games, and you worked with him.
Yeah, just an incredible career. I mean, Bob, I'm so fortunate that I got to spend 5 games with him in the booth. I mean, even in those 5 games, I learned, I probably learned more than I would have learned in 10 years by myself. Just a guy that he's seen it all. He's a legend for Washington State. He's a legend in the broadcasting world. And, I from Bob's standpoint, I think for him, he's excited to be able to just kind of sit back and watch the games and enjoy the experience of the season. And it was obviously for Matt and I's standpoint, we're going to miss having him in the booth, but it was an honor to be a part of it.
All right. I'm going to step away for a second, but I wanted a game question for you. From what I saw versus USC, the pass interference, the secondaries or stuff like that Washington struggled in, if they can stop the run, can you give me a couple keys or you think, and I'm digging on you for your keys of the game already so early.
Mm. Wanna.
Dusty just wants to talk about drinking.
He wants to talk about drinking. I like football, but I need to know. I know where your gut's going to tell you. Of course, you're going to pick the Cougs, but is there a certain key that you're looking for in this game that you're going to say it's a differentiating factor of how you're going to beat Oregon coming into this?
The big thing for me is that there has to be stopping the run's part of it, but to me, it's kind of the front seven for Washington State. Their play of being able to, they have to get to Justin. Like you have to get to him, and you got to get him down. You can't let him scramble around and make plays. Obviously, if you let him drop back and throw, he's gonna dice you up. But the other challenge is, you get him off his spot, he's so good on the run that he can really make you pay there. So it's to me is when you bring pressure, and this is where Tracy Clay's is a little different than Alex Grinch. I think Alex Grinch would create, he didn't have to create pressure with linebackers and bringing extra guys. Hercules and that D-line kind of did it for him. Tracy Clay's is going to send a little more pressure, a little more, bring kind of a delayed blitz by the linebackers, by Peyton Poulour. And I think if he can get there and get him down and get him off rhythm a little bit, that to me is going to be a big key. If Justin Herbert can just drop back and pass, it's going to be a shootout.
See them playing a little bit of man coverage.
Yeah.
And just putting that same type of thing like Washington did.
Yeah, just like Washington. Yeah. Like the way Washington did it is they said, hey, we're going to play man. We're going to play two man. We're going to be physical with the receivers, because really the receiver group's good, but Justin makes them good, makes them better. And so I think that is going to be, from Washington State, when we talked about the USC thing, they got beat because USC's got dudes on the outside. And Oregon doesn't have, receivers like USC has. So I think a lot of it is play man coverage, get some pressure on Justin. And I think that's the key. Offensively, Washington State's going to move the football. I mean, they are operating on all cylinders. They got so many playmakers. No matter what Jim Levin and the Oregon D wants to do, it's going to be a long night. So I do think this is going to be a shootout, and I think it's going to be a tight one. And I think, the 2.5, 3 points or whatever it is, I mean, that's kind of credit to the Washington State fans, and we'll see how that plays out in the end.
All right, he is a former Washington State quarterback, now color analyst for the Cougs Radio Network, played for the Houston Texans, and was in Houston for Red Sox and Astros
series. I see what you're doing here.
Mm.
And is a Boston fan.
Yes.
Attaboy.
He texts me, and I'm like, Sox. Oh, you're going to love it. It's going to be great.
Go
I was
Sox.
Like, yeah. Oh, I'm sure he's going there. He loves the Astros.
Rub it in.
Just...
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Crush my heart. That's
I'm
why.
Surprised you got out of bed this morning.
Yeah. He was very downtrodden today.
Yes, no, yesterday was the day. No, today I was fine. Yeah, I resigned to the fact.
Poor me.
Yesterday I was pissed. Well, yesterday.
That was a tough one.
Yesterday was not a good day for me.
You let Joe West get you.
In his turkey gobbler just hanging down.
Chubby Joe.
Good luck to your Red Sox in the World Series. Alex Brink, thanks for coming in, man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, coming up next, we put a bow on the show, and Crawford rejoins us. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Everyone's watching to see what you do. All righty, it's the weekend, baby. Yes. Joining us in studio, our former Fearless producer, Alex Crawford, who right on brand... Yeah, we were going to try and surprise Cam this morning at 8 a.m.
You did, at about 8:12.
Right at 8 a.m. was supposed to bring Crawford in to do Would You Rather, and I get a text.
Did it on purpose.
My Uber driver got lost. Mm-hmm. I'm cursed, the text.
I am. I can't.
Did you try to get here by 8?
I did.
Did you leave at 7:47?
I left. I called the Uber at 7:37. I said, this is perfect.
He actually came in here and he told me, he goes, these guys are never going to believe me, but I really did do this on time.
No.
And the Uber driver screwed it up.
How's Buck's punctuality?
Oh, my God.
Guess what?
Stellar.
Never missed a show.
Ever.
There was one
That's
day.
That's no fun.
Here before us, actually.
Yeah, I pulled into the parking lot and Buck's car wasn't there. And I was like, where's Buck? Yeah. He got dropped off.
He got dropped off.
He was already here.
Yeah.
Cam, I'm sure your anxiety's lower.
That's never going to happen. I mean,
you look good. You look healthier. Yeah. You look happier than when I was around.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a glowing skin.
I see a hair sprouting out.
No, that's not true.
No.
Okay.
We've tried to speak his hair back into existence.
Not going
to
happen.
What have you been up to
for the Beaver people Boy, that let's don't go. Tell us what you got.
What have you been up to?
Your whole suitcase was packed with orange and black.
I did.
Did you bring anything else?
I brought one LA Clippers shirt just to wrap up. Hey,
okay.
Go Blazers.
That's right.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Screw you, LeBron.
Yeah. I'm so happy the Blazers won last night.
Clipper pride was very excited.
My Laker hate is second only to my Clipper pride. No, I've been up to mainly been working on a political show about Newport Beach city government.
Mm.
Good morning, Newport.
Seems very specific.
Very niche.
Very niche. It's a small audience that you're targeting.
Yeah, it's a small audience. Okay. But I went down there to work on the, old Newport movie about the history of Newport, whatever. And we were talking to all these, for lack of a better term, old people that kept being, I'm talking old, like 95-year-old people that had lived in Newport their whole life. They kept being like, wow, if someone could just do something about the corruption on city council nowadays. I'm like, how do we reach the millennials? I'm like, I think I have an idea. So anyway, we launched this.
You went after the mob of Newport?
Yeah, we went after the mob of Newport. And it's been kind of fun. It's been really fun. We had a city councilman tweet about us kind of talking trash. So that's a good sign. And
okay. Well, have you guys made any change?
We'll find out. The election
awareness.
The election is in 3 weeks. So that's kind of the metric.
Are people watching?
People are watching. We had a live studio audience. We use Facebook, YouTube, or just Instagram is what reaches.
Instagram. I've caught you on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram is the good one because it's bite size.
You were a live studio audience.
We did a live studio audience last week, which was really cool. We had people come to our studio and watch, and it was really cool because there was this old guy there who was like, he's like 90-something. He's like, dad was the founder of Newport kind of a thing. And he was there. I'm like, oh my gosh, Alan Beek is here. What a great achievement. And afterwards, we went up to him like, what'd you think, Mr. Beek? He goes, I couldn't hear anything. Like, all right. We'll work on
Thanks
that.
Thanks for coming.
We'll work on that. Now, what have you guys been up to?
Radio show.
Show.
Okay, right on. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Don't let this gloss over this.
Yeah.
Is Old Newport still a thing?
It is, but without...
The movie that you moved down there to work on?
To be honest,
we're going to be in?
I I'm still working on something
still
for you guys.
There. Still getting there.
I think,
I want my cop roll.
I think the movie was more of a vehicle to get. I'm so happy to be in Southern California.
Yeah. You just wanted to leave us.
I think the movie's happening without me. The sun's great. You guys should try it.
Oh, it's happening without you?
I think
it's
so.
It's 70 the last 5 days here.
Portland's great. No, I
wait. You got fired?
No, I
you got fired.
Did mom and dad kick you out yet?
Not yet. The clock is ticking.
Okay.
I think
the basement.
My goal is to get out in under a year.
Under a year.
So.
Under. I'm going to take the over.
Okay, yeah, over, under. I think right. February 7th.
I'm taking the over.
Do your Beavs get their first win in Pac-12
play?
Feel
good about Coach Smith?
I feel great about Coach Smith. I feel great about having a team that's actually watchable. The defense is not good, giving up touchdowns on almost 50% of opponents' possessions.
You think?
Stat boy.
That being said, I do a Pac-12 podcast now.
Ooh.
Pack and Heat. Check it out on Twitter. Anyway, Beavs win.
Okay. About Ducks in Washington State.
Who do you like? I know what you're picking.
I like the Cougs, man.
Yeah.
Come on, game day.
Yeah.
It'd be good for the Pac-12 if the Ducks won, but I know you guys are Duck Station now.
Our coverage of Oregon, Washington State right here on The Fan starts tomorrow, noon, with Dirt, Anthony Newman, and myself leading you up to the pregame show at 2:30 and the 4:30 kick. So, all right, Mr. Cleland.
Yeah, man, sign off.
Do you have any
hot takes to leave?
Ducks or Cougs?
Go Cougs.
I think the Ducks win. Again, physicality now. All right, up next is the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, during spring, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk, and then it's high school football, baby. Have a
good
great
for you,
weekend.
Camus.
Hey,
Skyview
Storm.
Coming
after you,
Camus. Let's go, Storm. I've got a Skyview Storm shirt. I'm going to wear it tonight.
Let's go, baby. Right.
Have a great weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.